I was born in an Oakland hospital, but I never lived in Oakland. I lived in Concord back then when Mount Diablo High was the only high school there in Concord, and then at fifth grade I moved down to Anaheim.
Well, that's good. That's the CIA version. We don't know what happened, but that's where you went.
Well, I was actually truly born in a political detention camp in Provista, Czechoslovakia, which used to be part of the Hungarian Empire. So, yeah, that's where it was, and I escaped through Russia, through the east, and came into the west coast.
As you can tell, he's a left-hander, right?
Yeah. I still am, too, you know, and I did have a blue plate special. I had a torn rotator cuff, a torn labrum, and a ruptured bicep, but being left-handed, it was on my right arm.
This is Brandon Crawford, and you're listening to Giants Pregame with Marty Lurie.
How do you like Al Hrabowski? He's quite a character. We get to talk to him. He comes out usually during BP. And a good guy, good man.
Steve,
he's good for the game.
Was he a good pitcher?
Yeah, I thought he was when I was a kid. You know, he threw hard. He attacked the zone. He wasn't afraid. Was his whole persona, to get amped up and attack the hitters. And he had a high climbing fastball, from what I remember, you know. And I used to get so excited when he'd rub the ball and slam it into his glove and turn around and have that look on his face. So, again, he pitched to the act, you know, and that was his personality on the mound.
Al Hrabowski. We'll hear more from him later today. I had a lot of fun talking to him. All right. The safety squeeze. Tomlinson tried to do the safety squeeze against Pittsburgh. Didn't get it down. Hit the line drive to the second baseman. It was Willie McCovey in 62 all over again. Another foot. And then the ball would have been in the outfield. But I'm thinking about the safety squeeze, and you and I and Steve, we haven't talked about this. If you get it down and the runner on third is alert and you get it in the right spot, how do you not score? And it's safety, so you don't have to go.
Right. Well, that's the difference between the safety squeeze and the suicide squeeze. The suicide squeeze, you know, if the pitcher throws a bad pitch that the hitter can't bunt, the runner's out because he's breaking. As soon as the pitcher's arm starts to come forward, the runner from third will break home. The hitter's job is wherever that pitch is, a ball, a strike, wherever, you need to bunt the ball right on the ground. And if you do get that down, typically in a suicide, they never have a chance to get them because the runner was already running. If it was bunted real hard to the pitcher and he flips it with a glove, you have an outside chance. But usually a suicide is foolproof, but you have to get the ball down, and you have to have a pitcher to throw strikes. So that's what makes it risky. The safety squeeze, the difference is the runner on third does not break until he sees the ball down on the ground. And then the batter is trying to bunt the ball between first and second towards the first base area. It could be the third, but typically it's first base. Typically, the first basemen, there's a lot of first basemen that aren't slick or quick fielders. So you want to put the ball in that area. So it's a tougher play for him than the third baseman. And so the runner sees the ball down, and the runner reacts accordingly. And now, if the ball is bunted hard to the pitcher, not bunted down soft enough, the runner can stay. Yeah. But then they're going to get the out at first. So the risk is there. It's not always, if it's not executed properly, you may not score the run either. So it's safer than the safety squeeze. But if you have speed at third, just getting the ball down, typically that guy is going to go, and you have a bad fielder at first, and they're playing in the baseline. That's the key to defensing it. If you look up and the first baseman is playing in closer than the first base bag, three or four steps, now you're taking away that safety squeeze because he's in so close. If you bunt the ball, he can come get it and get the guy out at home. So if it's defensed properly, it's harder to score that run. If it's not defense property and the guy stays back in the baseline, you have speed at third, it's a very, very good play.
Yeah, I like it, and I like the safety part of it, and I think maybe it's just little ball and people don't want to do it anymore. Maybe that's the issue with it.
Well, there's a lot of teams that do it. We've done it multiple times. Arizona likes to do it. I'm trying to think of the other club. There's a few other clubs out there that run the play, yeah.
All right, Steve, from the catcher's perspective, what does the catcher have to do? Now, you see it coming. Now, the suicide squad, if you see the runner coming, do you jump out?
Yeah, I'm going to give you 2 points of view. I managed 7 years in the minor leagues, and you really want your – it's a personnel thing. So to defense it or make it an offensive play, you're looking at your personnel first. Now, you got, we'll say a catcher like Molina, we're going to run it today against the Cardinals. The instincts of the runner at third base is going to be apprehensive because he knows if he gets that big primary lead and the guy misses the bunt, Molina will snap throw down there and get you, which is the last thing you want to do is get picked off at third base. So, as a catcher, you're looking over to the manager. Are we going to pitch out? You know, a manager will put a pitch out on a lot of times if he feels like the personnel will run a suicide squeeze. So you're looking over for the pitch out. That's why I like the safety squeeze better. If you have a good bunter and you have speed at third base, I love the safety squeeze. And then the right personnel at first base or the pitcher that cannot defend the play. So you got a guy like Lincecum out there on the mound. It's tough to safety squeeze against a guy that can come off the mound very fast to make a play. So it's really a quick personnel decision. You say, hey, the risk outweighs the reward outweighs the risk right here, and you run it. And I like the safety squeeze, but as a catcher, you know, you're always aware of it, Marty, because you see the scoreboard, you see what inning you're in, you're most likely going to run a little later in the game. And, you know, Ronnie made a good point the other day. We're standing in the dugout, and it was a bunting to stay out of a double play with a pitcher to score the run. And because the personnel, the first baseman was back. But a lot of times that's just instincts of everybody. And when I'm coaching third base, I'll let that runner know, hey, with two outs right here, this guy might lay down a bunt for a hit to score the run. And you get frustrated at times because you know it's the right play and the hitter doesn't do it. He just doesn't think about it. So, some teams will run it, Marty. They're very good at it, too.
Yeah, and if you can lay down the bunt, if you've got a good bunter, why not?
Yeah, well, there's no question. Steve said it. Your personnel dictates all of that. You know, the pitcher on the mound, the catcher, your personnel, the guy at third, the bunter, will he get it down? So
I like
there's
it.
A lot of things to consider, and that's why I came into play. You know, the safety squeeze, when I played, I never saw it. This is relatively
new.
Relatively new play. It was always the suicide squeeze. Never saw a safety squeeze when I played. So I want to say I haven't seen one. It may be coming to play 5 years ago or relatively.
Really?
Relatively
I didn't realize
new.
That. Yes. I have to ask Dwayne about that because Dwayne was a hell of a bunter. And I wonder how he did that, if they did the suicide squeeze with him all the time or a safety squeeze.
Well, I've seen guys bunt for a base hit in all when the third baseman's back. I've seen guys, which is a good play. You have two outs. Third baseman's back. Runner in third. There's two outs. So, you want to drive the run in. Yeah. Bunt for a base hit. The runner scores, and you get a single. Now, what's better than that? A base hit and an RBI on a bunt.
Ramon Hernandez did that against the Red Sox in the play. Remember against the Red Sox in like the 12th inning? He laid a bunt down, third base, the run
That's
scored,
right.
And that was it. I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Wasn't it in the movie Major Leagues, too?
Probably so.
Probably. That's what you need. You need Charlie Sheen to come in here. All right. Tacking up from first base. And this is school. It's Sunday morning. We go to school here. I watch these balls go to the outfield. The outfielder's going the wrong way weight-wise. He's on his back foot. You're reading the thing anyway. You know it's not going out. Why not tag up more often from first base?
Well, I think you said the right word. You read it. In the minor leagues when we're teaching guys, are you looking at the back of the outfielder's numbers? Is he starting to turn? Is it a high fly ball that he's going back and he's getting around? Once he starts that turn and you say, okay, he's going to catch it, you can sprint back. And, again, it's a personnel deal. Where are we at in the lineup? Do you want to get a guy thrown out at second base with Buster Posey hitting and the wind blowing out to left field? So there's always variables involved, but I would like to see it happen more often. And good base runners, I think I remember seeing Pablo Sandoval tag up at second and go to third on a fly ball to left field that was deep. When I was in San Jose watching one of the Giants games on TV. So it's an instinct play. I mean, good base runners don't have to be fast. They think very quickly. And Brandon Belt tried it yesterday. The guy made a great throw. He took off and he stopped halfway, which was the perfect play. He saw that it was a good throw. And again, the quick thinking and the instincts of the runners comes into play. And also your coaches always say, hey, you'll hear them yelling back, or tag in that situation.
How do you teach it, Will?
Well,
do you do in spring training?
Well, you know what? They run the bases all the time. Roberto Kelly and has these guys out there in spring training. We have a base running group. I mean, they're on the bases a lot. They'll go down to the half field, and they go over every possible situation. And they talk about tagging up at first base many times. But again, once you get into the season, it's the instinct of the player, knowing that's what reading the ball, reading the play, the situation, the game, and deciding to go. Where you see it the most of the time, and all your listeners that play baseball, anytime there's less than two outs and it's first and third and there's a fly ball, you're always going to tag up at first base, right? Because it's if there's going to be a play at the plate, you want to tag up at first base because you're going to read the throw. He throws that ball high, you keep going. If the guy's going to be out at home, you keep going, or they're going to have a play because they may cut that ball and go for you, and you might score the run. Then you can stop. So you do it there all the time. I think the only downside of the play with tagging up from first with nobody on third is, you know, the instinct of the player, the ball has to be deep enough where he can make it. Two, you don't want to be tagging up if the guy does miss the ball. Now, instead of being on third or scoring, you only get the second because you're tagging up. You know, it's not always as clear if the ball is going to be caught or is it going to be off the wall, because typically the ball has to be pretty deep to tag up. Okay. And now in our triples alley, we can do it a lot because it's very, very deep. So some of these parks are smaller, but it can be done, like Dex said, how the outfielder is catching the ball. You know he's going to catch it. And he's catching it flat-footed or without momentum, you could tag up from first a lot.
Yeah, I think it wins a game for you. All right, let's jump ahead a little bit to this team. Here you are. It's Sunday baseball, which we like Sunday baseball. Relax, take a deep breath, kind of assess where you are. You're in this homestand today. Tough matchup, Jaime Garcia. He doesn't lose very many on the road here. He's pretty good. You got Heston coming back. Then it's off to L.A. for three. You're three and a half back. How do you feel? You guys have been there before. How do you feel?
Well, anytime you're in it this time of year, you feel good. Look, with some of the injuries that we had throughout the season, right now, I think yesterday's game we had four starters out of the lineup. Yeah. That's quite a bit to overcome. And a credit to the guys that have filled in that we're still in this position. You know, the guys that are doing the job, guys that have been here all year long, and what Tomlinson's been able to do as of late, and guys that get their opportunity. So we're in it. You know, you'd much rather be in first than where we're at, but we play the Dodgers seven times. We're right here, and hopefully we'll get some people back on the field. So, no, we feel good about what we've been able to accomplish despite all our issues throughout the season.
Steve, hitting-wise, you talk to the hitting guys, they say, boy, the pitchers better pitch better. Talk to the pitching guys, they say the hitters better hit better. What's going on with your aspect? How do you view the game right
well,
now?
Well, you know, Bam Bam does a great job every day of having a nice strategy and plan for our hitters. And we talk during the day. We go over video. We go over tendencies of the pitchers, and we try to relate the message during the batting practice and during the batting cage sessions before the games. And you go day-to-day. At-bat to at-bat, quality at-bats, well-hit balls. I mean, we're trying to get in there and grind out. And I think we've done an outstanding job this year, not giving up, of sticking our nose in there. And, you know, situational hitting, trying to get guys over, trying to score runs, trying to give our pitchers the lead early. This guy today, Garcia's crafty. He's a mixer. He's going to throw any pitch at any time. You know, you really got to see the ball. Sometimes you say go right to your two-strike approach. You know, really work inside this guy. Make him elevate the ball. Don't chase. He's got a good chase breaking ball or whatever the strategy might be. And then we have video playing throughout the day in the cages. The players were going to watch their videos, how this guy pitched them last time. The amount of work that goes into preparation to prepare for the game, I don't think the average fan understands when we come to the ballpark and how much work we actually do just for those four at-bats. But our guys are prepared. I mean, they're prepared physically, mentally, and it's just going out there and getting the job done on a daily basis.
Right. It should be an interesting game. And Jaime Garcia, as I say, you're crafty. How do you say a lefty who isn't crafty? I'm crafty. I'm a lefty. I'm a crafty broadcaster, right?
Well, you're probably throwing 96, 97 if you're not crafty,
62, right?
You're 60. You're not throwing that hard. Right. Well, yeah, the hard throwers aren't crafty. The guys that don't have great velocity and they move the ball, they're very, very crafty.
Righty is never crafty.
Isn't that something? Isn't How come? It's just like a lefty. This really upsets me. How come a righty's not crafty?
Righty's not crafty. Lefty's crafty.
Yeah, and you watch these left-handers like Wade Boggs, and they hit that nice base hit over the shortstop's head, and they go, oh, great hitting. What a beautiful hit. A right-hander hits it over to second base. They say, he was late.
There's a beauty of that left-handed swing. And we got more to talk about, but you guys got to get to work. So I appreciate it. Have a great road trip. Have a good game today. And 33 to go. Yeah. So when we see each other again, we'll be down to about 18 or 19. So it's going to be pretty. This is a great time of year.
Sure is. Okay, right. Marty.
Steve, thank you for being here.
Thanks
Steve
for
Decker,
having me
and, of
on,
course,
Marty.
The bench coach, the professor, Ron Woda. School is out. More coming up in the Sports Leader.